listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Man, what an interesting time to talk to Kevin Lawrenson with Aflac. You know, all of us hear that duck going, Aflac, all the time, and we don't really know what supplemental benefits are, but amazing services that they provide and coverage for, you know, health insurance, cancer insurance, accidents, all those kind of things. Jesse Lusko, pastor of Calvary Westside, in studio now. Jesse, last time we had you on, man, that whole place was full of massive amounts of energy, and you've got a really cool thing going on Friday.
Yes.
Is it at the church?
Yeah, it's at Calvary Westside at Coors Montano.
It's called the Skeptics Welcome Dinner Party.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You're inviting people that are skeptical about Jesus and about faith issues. And why are you doing that?
Oh, wow. Well, I think that we have a responsibility to do that because Jesus commanded us to love our neighbor. And, you know, not every human being is our brother or sister in Christ, but every human being is our neighbor. That's kind of the whole point, because Jesus said even Samaritans are our neighbors. Samaritans were racial outcasts. They were heretics considered by the Pharisees and the Jews. So that means, hey, we got to love everybody. We got to love, the Romans. We got to love Jesus's whole point is even to love your enemies. And so, I think our culture really, really could use some civility and gentleness and mutual respect between people who disagree. So the point of this dinner is just to build friendships. That's the whole point, to build friendships with people who typically wouldn't be friends. I think our culture desperately needs that. If you've been on Facebook recently, you probably realize there's not a whole lot of civility going on.
Politically, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I actually read an article, several articles, but one in The Atlantic that just said that, like, civility has died in the streets, and I think that's a real problem. I think that our whole society and nation loses when, you know, I heard, oh, you'll love this. I heard that a gentleman is someone who can disagree without being disagreeable.
Wow.
And people don't really think of themselves as gentlemen or gentlewomen anymore, but I want to be a gentleman. I want to hang out with people. I do already. I have lots and lots of friends who are secular, lots of people who I love and respect and admire who are agnostic or atheist. And, I disagree with them strongly, but I love them deeply.
Mm. And you're inviting them though to dinner.
Yeah.
Friday. Tell us a little bit about the event.
Yeah. So, as long as you're not driving, I want you to close your eyes. All right. Close your eyes, Jim.
I'm closing.
And picture you walk into the West Side. It's a beautiful campus, by the way. Very, very, kind of trendy, just cool vibe.
But imagine Coors and Montano.
Yeah. Coors and Montano. You walk in at 6:30 on Friday. There's going to be huge tables laid out like a Thanksgiving feast with cool Pinterest, centerpieces, beautiful. It's going to be violins playing like Coldplay and Alabama Shakes and just like pop music, but on violins. Then, you'll sit down, you'll eat a delicious Italian dinner, and then you'll come into the auditorium. I'm going to give about a 25 minute TED talk, just an engaging talk that's intellectually engaging and challenging. And then there'll be live Q&A and you can ask any question you want. So,
Present your ideas.
Yeah. And, I'm not going to be the only one answering questions. We'll have a full panel of people, of just friends, pretty diverse group from different backgrounds, helping answering the questions.
But you are going to listen
absolutely
to what the skeptics have to say.
Well, I've been listening to what the skeptics had to say for the past 13 years. Mm. It takes a lot of listening to be someone worth listening to, and I'm going to listen that night as well. I do a lot of listening. I spend time with secular people and a lot of time reading and listening to what skeptics think and believe. And I love to make friendships with those kinds of people.
Well, that's an interesting perspective, because most people are thinking argument or they're thinking. And I have to say, I'm embarrassed about my own faith position back when I was your age.
Yeah.
Back in those days, we were handing out three spiritual law tracts.
Yeah.
And we'd make our presentation, and if you didn't immediately agree with us, we'd kind of walk away and huff.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't really love people into the kingdom. So I'm so blessed to hear that you're doing this.
Yeah.
How do you invite people? Do they have to sign up? Can they just show up?
They can show up. If you want to get more details, you can go to calvarynm.church/skeptics. So calvarynm.church/skeptics. And you can find out more there, or you can just show up. It's Coors Montano, Friday night, 6:30 p.m.
And I talked, I'm glad you corrected me. I was thinking it was Saturday.
Oh, no worries.
Friday night.
Yeah, Friday night. Yeah.
A lot of fun. And that's the other thing, breaking bread with people, having a nice dinner. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a great time. It's cool music, cool vibe, cool, great, delicious food. It's going to be awesome. The whole point is to make friendships.
Hey, I want to.
That's the point.
I want to go to Pastor Jesse Lusko again. When you were growing up in a Christian home, we know we talked about your dad last time you were on the air, and his great influence, and your mom, and how well she's doing
now. Absolutely.
When were you skeptical, and what were your questions growing up?
Oh, that's a great question. So I have come to realize that I'm a bit of a cerebral person. I'm just a thinker. Mm-hmm. I think all the time, like 24 hours a day. And I think that I really started taking my faith super seriously in eighth and ninth grade and started getting introduced to like C.S. Lewis, you know, who was an Oxford scholar and a teacher at Cambridge who was an atheist till he was 40. Everybody knows C.S. Lewis probably. But I got introduced to C.S. Lewis. I got introduced to Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel was an investigative journalist for the Chicago Tribune who was an atheist till he was around 30 or something. And through investigative research became a Christian. So I started getting introduced to that and really liked it even in high school. But the great story that I have to tell is from my freshman year of college. So this was the best. How much time do we got, Jim?
Oh, you got plenty of time.
You got time. All right. So this is the best story. So I was going to CNM. I was 17 years old, and I sit down my freshman year of college at CNM, my English class, and I have this Polish professor who's brilliant. English is a second language, but he's brilliant when it comes to grammar. But he would always walk in kind of disheveled. He was a tall, lanky, wiry man, and he'd always come in like a couple minutes late, slump down into his chair, and immediately just begin flow of consciousness saying whatever he wanted. So he would come into class like this. He'd slump down into his chair and go, he's like, I want you to all know I don't believe in God. I'm a man of reason. I'm a man of science. If you're here, you believe in that silly nonsense. I want you to know you're a fool. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like what is happening right now? And yeah, I grew up obviously at a big mega church here at Calvary and I went to Hope Christian and obviously was aware of atheism, but this was like, and the thing was, I actually really liked this guy.
Yeah.
Like I really liked him. He was so funny because he just was so eccentric. And he'd come in and he'd talk about, he's like, the only thing I'm looking forward to is seeing Viking death metal concert, Amon Amoth. And like, he was like probably 60 years old, but he loved Nordic Viking metal. And so he would just come talk about his crazy concerts. And I actually loved the guy, but in our English class, he would have us read, Bertrand Russell, the famous atheist philosopher. He would have us read Richard Dawkins in English class. And I'm like, bro, we should be reading Dickens, not Dawkins. Like, what is this? But he was a fascinating guy. And so that really led me to wrestle and to investigate. And honest to God, I've been thinking about atheism and secularism pretty much every day for the past 13 years.
Well, this is an amazing discussion. We hope you'll stay with us. Jesse's got a lot more to say to us this afternoon. We'll be right back.
Mark Pardo Salon Spa. More beauty, more luxury, more value. In addition to hair and skin treatments, experience Mark Pardo's spa services, including facials, nails, hair removal, massage, and body treatments. Perfect when preparing for that special celebration or simply to treat yourself. Ask about Mark Pardo Salon Spa Services and schedule an appointment today at 298-2983 or markpardo.com.
since the Bible is the Word of God, since it does reveal the character of God, since it alone describes salvation and eternal life, since all these things are true of God's Word, how important is it to know what every word of Scripture means? Hi, friends. John MacArthur here. There's only one way to tap into the power of Scripture, and that's by immersing yourself in it regularly. Every day on Grace to You, we unpack the Bible verse by verse, precept upon precept. And there's no better way to spend 30 minutes of your day. So join us here on this station for Grace to You.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on KNKT.
Whether at home or in the workplace, we're all leaders. Become a better leader in this leadership moment with Craig Groeschel.
You cannot lead at the highest level or love from the deepest part of your heart when you are emotionally empty. Let me say it again. You cannot lead from the highest level or love from the deepest part of your heart when you are emotionally depleted or void. And for some of you, this is actually a very real problem. So many leaders, and this may be you, you're struggling at home because you've depleted your emotional tank at work and you've left nothing left for those that you love the most. What tends to happen? Well, when you're emotionally depleted, you're not at your best. That's why you'd be wise to know what specifically refills and replenishes your emotional tank. Some of you, it's time with other people. Like you go from office to office, party to party, gaining energy the whole time.
That was Craig Groeschel on a KNKT Leadership Moment. Hear more at life.church/leadership podcast.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Pastor Jesse Lusco, Calvary, Albuquerque, Westside, Coors and Montaño. We're having a Skeptics Welcome Dinner Party, 6:30 Friday night.
That's right, 6:30 Friday night. It's going to be delicious food, really great music, and the opportunity to exchange ideas and maybe build friendships with people you typically wouldn't become friends with.
So if you're somebody that would like to have hear what the skeptics have to say, and you're a believer.
Yes.
Can you grab them and take them to this event?
Absolutely, absolutely. And maybe you're a Christian listening to this doubting. You know, I wrestled through doubt for many, many, many years, and I really am convinced of this simple concept. There's a French proverb that says, "He who doubts nothing thinks nothing." Mm. And you will never find answers until you start asking questions.
I love it.
So I think that I heard Pastor Greg Laurie say once, it was really helpful to me. He said that you sometimes have to enter through the doorway of doubt to come into the family room of faith. Mm. And that's the reality, is that I think people who have a substantial faith, a robust faith, maybe you've got a son, a daughter, who's a skeptic right now, or is doubting, or is wrestling. I think in order to come to a strong intellectual faith, you have to doubt. Mm. You know, and I'm thankful. They're agonizing. Those years of doubt I had were agonizing, but I'm thankful. I wouldn't trade them for the world, because now I have a faith that is well informed, and I feel a greater level of certainty than I've ever had. And I wouldn't experience that were it not for those difficult years.
I have said many, many times to my 5 children, use your brain.
Yes, yes.
Why don't any of us use our brain as much as we should?
Well, I think that, you know, if people always try to, you know, maybe blame it on it's an American thing or it's a Christian thing. I think it's just a human thing. Mm-hmm. I think that it's easier to not think. I think, to put it in fancy language, there's something called heuristics, which is, you know, the process which you receive information. It's easy to think like the tribe that you're from. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easy to just want to fit in and just agree with those around you. But part of my experience wasn't just going to college. It was also that I'm so thankful for this, and I love my mom, and our relationship right now is better than ever before. But she moved down to the university area and kind of wanted to live a free hippie lifestyle, an individualistic lifestyle, wanted to express herself. And so I grew up partly here at the Calvary campus, you know, at this big church, evangelical Christians. But part of my life, I was hanging out with schizophrenic guys and people who are smoking weed and people who are into new age. One of her friends, my mom's so compassionate, but one of the guys I grew up with was this man who was a gay man dying of AIDS. Mm-hmm. And so that was my childhood, you know? And so I had no choice but to really wrestle through the issues and come to firm convictions. And I think we need more of that.
Yes.
I think being in a homogenous environment where everyone thinks the way you think makes you lazy.
Well, and the reality is you can't stay in a homogenous environment.
Yeah.
You got to be in the real world.
Yes.
You already mentioned the professor that was really making some pretty abrasive, as a matter of fact, statements that he probably hadn't really carefully considered because he probably never honestly considered a faith position.
Well, I think there's a lot of truth to that. You know, I think he grew up in Poland in a Catholic school that said, if you doubt, you're a sinner, you know, you're bad, you doubt. And so I think because of that kind of legalistic, oppressive environment that he grew up in, and I want to say this, churches that discourage questions create skeptics.
Mm.
We need to welcome questions. We need to welcome people's, struggles and difficulties and doubts. If you don't welcome questions, you will create skeptics. But anyways, because of that, he just assumed that all people of faith were these unthinking, unreasoning fools. But him and I actually developed a great friendship. And he later, ironically, the way the Lord orchestrated it, he ended up later, years later, having jury duty with my best friend, Matt Parolo. And Matt was in jury duty with this guy, and I had talked about this guy constantly because he was so eccentric and so hilarious and so fascinating. But Matt recognized him through jury duty, and he actually told Matt that I was his favorite student he ever had.
Mm.
And I think part of that was this potent combination of love and logic.
Mm-hmm.
So he came into class one time and he said, I want you to know I believe in the decriminalization of all drugs. I believe that you should have the ability to kill yourself for any reason in any way at any time. It's like, I believe in physician-assisted suicide. I believe that you should be able to walk into a doctor's office and the doctor should put you out of your misery at any moment. Well, I went up to him after class. I was like, hey, I'm not going to say his name, but I went, hey, professor, are you okay? Like, I just want you to know I care about you. And if you died, I'd be really sad. and I told him that. And we became friends. And even after, you know, the semester was over, for months, we kept in contact via email. And I think that's maybe what he had never experienced was this potent combination. Jesus is called the Logos. That's the Greek. That's where John chapter 1, it's where the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. Well, the word is logos. There, it's where we get the word logic. Jesus is the logic behind the universe. But John also says God isn't just logic. God is light. God is life. God is love. So I think when you give people that combination of love and logic, that's where the transformation happens. And being patient with people. The biggest thing, you know, you're talking about the four spiritual laws earlier, mm-hmm. and kind of like, oh, if they don't receive Christ in 8 seconds, it's like, bro, at least buy me dinner first.
Yeah, there you go.
It's like proposing to somebody 8 seconds after you meet them.
So I know a lot of people that are believers in Jesus.
Yeah.
And they focus on scriptures like, be ready always to give an answer to anyone who asks the reason of the hope that is in you.
Yeah.
And they somehow think that they are responsible.
Yes.
For convincing somebody that Jesus is Lord. Is that our responsibility or is that kind of up to the Holy Spirit?
My answer to that question would be yes. And I would say that it's not either or, it's both and. You're referencing one of my favorite verses. You got to quote the end of that though, because the end of 1 Peter 3:15 says, do so with gentleness and respect.
Amazing.
And where we get the word apologetics from. I don't really like the word apologetics because it sounds like apologizing.
Sure.
It's like, well, I'm so sorry that I'm a Christian. Please forgive me. I apologize. No, the Greek word is apologia. It means a logical answer, to give someone the logic of the faith. You know, I'm as you can tell, I'm very passionate about that. But I will say, the Bible holds this contention where, on the one hand, the book of Acts over and over again says that Paul reasoned with people in the marketplace and in the synagogue, persuading both Jews and Greeks to believe. But simultaneously, we know that the gospel is the power of God to salvation to anyone who believes. And so I think there is an element where, you know, we sort of do have to be a little bit like the newspaper boy, and we deliver the message, and the message is the power that draws people to salvation. But I think we have a responsibility, like 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, that we're ambassadors of Christ. An ambassador is a representative. We got to give people a good representation. We don't want to be bad ambassadors who misrepresent the message or misrepresent our Messiah. You know, we want to be good ambassadors who give people a good representation of Jesus.
We are with Jesse Lusko in studio this afternoon talking about the Skeptics Welcome Dinner Party at Calvary Westside. That's Montano and Coors Road, 6:30 this Friday night. Don't have to sign up. There's going to be fun music. Violins is unusual, my
friend. Oh, I think it's going to be cool, though, because it's going to be pop music on violins.
On violins.
So, like, picture Billie Eilish or Coldplay or Alabama Shakes, but played on violins. It's going to be classy, but fun, and I don't know. It's just going to be dope, all right?
Yeah.
You just wait. Come check it out.
And the Italian food, I can smell it right now.
Sounds great. It'll be delicious.
We'll be back after this commercial break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The perfect wedding needs the perfect ring, and we know you'll find it during the Viraggio Bridal Show at Crown Jewels and Coin. On March 6th and 7th, sip champagne and shop hundreds of ring styles from one of the world's premier fine jewelers, all at 20% off for this event only. 5-year no-interest financing available. Put the crowning touch on your wedding day at Crown Jewel and Coin's Viraggio Bridal Show, March 6th and 7th. Crown Jewels and Coin, for all you treasure, San Mateo, north of Candelaria.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Filled and overflowing. This is Roger Patterson with the Minute of Vision for Life. When the Houston Astros won the 2015 Wild Card Playoff to head to the American League Division Series, they celebrated with a champagne shower in the visitors' locker room of the New York Yankees. The Astros were a first or second place team all year, and their hard work, love for the game, and love for one another paid tremendous dividends that overflowed in celebration as they sought to win October. In the prior months, their character had been shaped as they began to tail off at the end of the season. They fought to overcome adversity and gained the wild card berth. You know, sports is a great mirror for life, but it isn't life. It can teach us many things and encourage us to reflect on what really matters. Philippians 1:10 states, "For I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return." What really matters is that we set ourselves apart for Christ and demonstrate His character.
Roger's devotional, A Minute of Vision for Men, is available for pre-order at visionforlife.org.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
If you are a skeptic about the gospel of Jesus Christ or anything having to do with the Word of God, or even if you just have questions, you're invited to the Skeptics Welcome Dinner Party, Calvary, Albuquerque, Westside.
Yeah.
Corner of Montano and Coors, 6:30 this Friday night.
Yeah.
What a fun idea.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And maybe you're a Christian. You just have doubts. You have questions. You don't have to be ashamed of those doubts. Jesus can handle your doubts. You know, the more I've questioned and the more I've researched, the more solid my faith has become. And I want to create environments where it's okay to ask questions. Or maybe you've got a friend or a son or a daughter or a coworker or a cousin. Bring them. It's going to be a dinner. It's going to be a cool night. It's going to be fun.
Or maybe you're 18 years old, graduated from high school, and some professor has already thrown some stuff in your face that you'd like to know how to answer.
Yeah.
So this will be a fun event. Jesse, the United States at one time was considered a Christian nation, but it's really become secularized over the past 20, 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
Tell me what's happening.
Yeah. And I think that is to a large degree true. You know, obviously, I mean, it's on our money. It's in our Declaration of Independence that, you know, we hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal. In God we trust. One nation under God. In 1990, Okay, that's the year I was born. Macaulay Culkin was living alone. MC Hammer was wearing parachute pants. But only 6% of Americans said they had no faith. 1990. Now it's up to close to 33%, according to Pew Research. So think about that. Just in my short lifetime, 6% people said they had no faith. Now it's up to 33%. And some people want to become very alarmist. Oh, the church is dying. Well, I just actually read a Wall Street Journal article saying actually what's happening, and certain authors have pointed this out for a while. So what's happening is that nominal Christians, people who are just culturally Christian, like, oh, we go to Christian,
sure,
we go to Christmas on Easter and on Christmas, those middle ground people are becoming totally more secular, like agnostic or atheistic or just like spiritual but not religious. But simultaneously in the United States, there's actually a huge current of people who are becoming really, really passionate. And the churches that actually aren't dying off are the churches that emphasize the need to be converted. So the churches where it's like, oh, I'm a Christian because grandma was a Christian. You know, I'm an American. That means I'm a Christian. Those people are becoming very, very kind of antagonistic, atheistic. But there's simultaneously the churches that emphasize the fact, hey, just because grandma was a Christian doesn't mean you're going to heaven. You need to have a faith of your own. You need to come to Christ. You need to be born again. Those churches are actually thriving in the United States. So what's happening is our culture is becoming extremely polarized. Mm. And that's why I think this dinner is so important. It's because a little while ago, I won't say his name, but I posted on my Facebook about suicide. A friend of mine had committed suicide, and I posted about, you know, my own battle with depression and opened up about some of the insights that have been helpful. And this mom reached out to me. She doesn't go to Calvary. I've never met her before in my life. The post got shared a lot. She said, I'm worried my son's going to commit suicide. Mm. And she reached out to me, and I said, oh my gosh, he needs to get cognitive behavioral therapy. He needs to memorize scripture. He needs a community. He needs friends. Loneliness creates depression. Well, she goes, he's not going to do any of that. He's an atheist. Mm. And I go, where does he live? I'd love to hang out with this guy.
Yeah.
And so she gives me his number. Oh, he's never going to want to hang out with you. You're a pastor. Well, I reach out to him. He ghosts me at first, doesn't write me back. But then his girlfriend breaks up with him. We start hanging out. We've been hanging out for like 4 or 5 months now. And we've become incredibly close friends. And he starts coming to church with me eventually after many meals, many conversations. Love is patient. Love is patient. Spend time with people. Mm. But I spend time with all these times. Well, he's come to church several times now. And after one night, he says, hey, I don't want you to call me an atheist anymore.
Wow.
I want you to call me unaffiliated because my mind's not made up. Then he came and heard me preach on February 21st, and he texted me later after that. He said, I want you to know you are a light in my life. I want to hear your interpretation of scripture more. This guy was a suicidal atheist getting a chemical engineering degree not too long ago. And just because just showing him that I care about him. And I told him this. I tell everybody this. I'm gonna say this on Friday night. I just told a friend of mine this who's agnostic. I said, even if you are a non-Christian for the rest of your life, even if you never come to church, even if you bitterly disagree with me till the day that you die, I will always care about you, and I will always be your friend.
Yeah.
I'm not looking to get a merit badge for how many converts I get. I'm not just trying to use you. I just care about you. I want to be your friend. I love you. Jesus loves me. I love you. I'll never stop loving you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. You know, that's the kind of love that I showed to Ryan, and it's transforming his life, you know? And so I think all of us can do that.
I call that a no matter what perspective.
Yes.
Men and women need to go into marriages that way.
Yes.
We need to go into the relationships we have with yes. people that way.
Yes, absolutely.
So you hang out with people that don't believe as you do. How do you prevent yourself from being maybe influenced in the wrong way?
Oh, I think this is super helpful. You know, it says in the book of Proverbs that he who walks with the wise will become wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. And that sounds very heavy, but I actually just officiated a funeral for a 17-year-old girl. I think I might have shared this last time I was on the air, but she started hanging out with the wrong crowd, died in a fiery car accident at 3 a.m. running from the police, you know? And so it's true. The companion of fools will be destroyed. So what I say is this, you got to spend time with Jesus, because Jesus is the one wise person who's so wise that when he hangs out with fools, the fools don't make him a fool. He makes the fools wise. So you got to spend time with Jesus first and foremost. And then the second thing is my closest friends, the people I share my heart with, are people who love Jesus. Mm. You know, my Shadrach, Meshach, if you want to thrive in Babylon, it's a little Bible nerd reference here. But if you want to thrive in Babylon, okay, Daniel's living in a culture that does orgies and human sacrifice and is a military and technological powerhouse that destroys people. Daniel's living in Babylon. And the way he influences Babylon instead of being influenced is he's got a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's got a squad. He's got a crew who are all in it to win it for the kingdom of God. And yet, simultaneously, he takes a Babylonian name, wears Babylonian clothes, gets a master's degree in the Babylonian dark arts. Mm. People don't realize, a lot of people went, oh my gosh, Daniel, what are you doing? You're compromising. No. He knows their faith inside and out. And he, instead of being influenced by Babylon, ends up influencing Babylon because he prayed every day from his youth. He spent time with Jesus. He spent time with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then he was ready to rumble. And he was able to change Babylon from the inside out.
So our listeners are invited to the Skeptics Welcome Dinner Party, 6:30, Calvary Westside, this Friday night, 6:30.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about the event and what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that'll be our whole show.
Awesome. So what we're specifically going to be talking about, because you may be kind of curious, what's the little TED Talk going to be about? Aldous Huxley, he wrote the book Brave New World. Ironically, when Donald Trump got elected, Brave New World started selling like crazy because it's like this dystopian novel. And Aldous Huxley famously said, I didn't want the universe to have a meaning. And this wasn't the case just for me. It was the case for many of my friends. I wanted the universe to be meaningless because if the universe had a meaning, it would interfere with my sexual freedom.
Wow.
So Aldous Huxley said that just straight up, you know, and he's not the only one. A lot of guys have said that. Sure. Marquis de Sade, this famous French atheist, he said, abandoning belief in God is the first step to unleashing your genitals and enjoying life.
Oh, wow.
And I think a lot of college students are like, amen.
Yeah.
They're listening
to
that.
They want to do what they want.
But what I'm going to talk about is I want to say this gently and sensitively, is that Hugh Hefner flung open the door and Harvey Weinstein walked in.
Mm.
Now, and for the past 50 plus years, our culture has been living the free love, sexual freedom lifestyle. But hey, the jury's starting to come in and we're realizing that the case isn't looking good. Things are not playing so well for that. And Jesus cares about sexual purity because he cares about victims.
Mm.
And so that's what I want to gently propose to our culture is that I care about victims. In fact, I am a victim, and that the church we should be at the very forefront of speaking up for those who can't speak for themselves.
Well, and speaking as a man, I think that women are tired of being objectified.
Yes.
And they want to be cherished and they want to be respected.
Yes.
And they want to be appreciated for the people that God's made them.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you're really addressing a lot of that. Wow, yeah. Jesse, I've never heard of this. I've never heard of a skeptic's dinner party held by a Christian pastor, but you've been through a lot, my friend, and we're blessed.
Let me close with this quote from Ryan. Ryan said, if you can't hang out with people you disagree with, then your faith is worth nothing.
Amen.
Yeah.
Jesse Lusco, you're invited 6:30 Friday night, the Skeptics Welcome Dinner Party. Thanks, Jesse.
Thank you.
Connect with Jim. Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.